We're going to start off here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want to start off in verse 1. I'm going to read the first 6 verses just to get the context. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So I want to talk to you right now about the servant's instruction. And the reason why I say servant's instruction, notice in verse number 6, it says, who gave himself a ransom. And you know what a ransom is? That's a redemption price of a slave. And you know what we are for the Lord Jesus Christ? We're to be, you know, Paul even said he's the Lord's slave. And man, bond servant, man, why I'm thankful for that. The Lord bought me, and man, I'd be glad to serve him. I don't know if this is true or not, but I read a story about Abraham Lincoln one time. This slave was up there, and they said that he basically bought her and said, look, you're free to go. And she said, no, I'll come with you. Well, guess what? The Lord bought me, and you know what? I want to go with him. Lord, I want to follow you. And so you got this thing here. This is servant's instruction. Timothy was a servant, and he's trying to exhort him and tell him what to do as far as his service. And that's what we're to do. We're to serve the Lord gladly. And I've told y'all before, we get to serve. Man, I don't got to serve. Man, I've heard some people, you know, I've got to go over here, and you know, we've got to go do this Sunday. No, you get to. Thank the Lord I get to. It changes the whole motive of things. That's why I'm so excited about it. I enjoy love if it comes up. I enjoy being able to go out and preach with Brother Carey. But it's a joy. I'm not talking, well, you know, this Saturday we're going. No, I get to, and it's a blessing to. And so it changes the whole motive. But he notice here, the first thing in verse 1, watch the placement here. Look, this is the prayers. If you're going to be a servant and you're going to follow instruction, you're going to have your prayers right. All right, verse 1 talks about prayers. It says, watch this thing. First of all, notice the place of prayer. It's first. That's amazing to me how he pushed that thing in there, and you'll notice the placement of prayer is first. Now hold your place there and look at Romans chapter 1. We're going to go here twice today, but well, you may not have to flip to it the second time. I want to show you something. Paul is in verse 1, you'll notice he's a servant of Jesus Christ, and he's separated and all these things, and he's talking about obedience to the faith in here, and how we're called of Jesus Christ, and he's talking about to all be at Rome, verse 7, but watch what he does, though, when he really gets going, verse 8. First, watch what he does. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. See, the first thing he's doing, he's being thankful. Well, being thankful, we're going to realize here is part of prayer. All right, that's part of the prayer. That's part of being first of all. First of all, prayers are first, and thankfulness is a type of prayer. So the first thing you do is pray. Now, hold your place again in 1 Timothy 2. Look at James chapter 5. Now, the Bible says in James 5:17, while y'all turning there, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that means? He's just like us. He's a normal man. He you know, of course, God used him in a mighty way, but he's subject to the like passions we are. In verse 17, he got sad like we do. He got mad like we do. He got glad like we do. He had all these same things that we do. But guess what he done? You're talking about a man who was mightily used. Now you know what? That whole ministry of Elijah, all those things, all those miracles, and even being caught up in the whirlwind. You know what this thing is summed up in? Watch this. Subject like passion we are, and he prayed earnestly. So he prayed. Now watch verse 18. So it says in verse 17, he prayed. Verse 18, and he prayed again. You know what? That'd be a good thing for us to be summed up. Put your name in the blank. Say he prayed and he prayed again. He prayed, first of all, prayer. That in that 2 Timothy there, our 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort you, therefore, first of all, that prayer, he's telling you, if you're going to be a good servant of the Lord, prayer needs to be first. And you know what, with us, I'm ashamed throughout my life how many times I made a decision without praying first on that thing. And I'm telling you, I've done some bad thing. Some things that, you know, a lot of people say, well, that wasn't a sin. Okay, yeah, but still, as far as in your eyes, it's not. But as far as in God's eyes, it was. Why? You go and look up Joshua there in the Old Testament. You know when he messed up? When he didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. Guess what? Before long, he's making a league with the Gibeonites. He didn't seek the counsel. And guess what? He's fooled. You know, with me in my life, I've found that I didn't seek counsel of God on something, and I was fooled because of it. I went in and I said, oh, there's no way. That's a bad thing. I don't need to go check God out on the thing. God said, okay then. And that's how the devil gets us. Why? If the devil can't get you to do bad, he gets you to do good without seeking God. Why? Because with us, our flesh, look, your flesh is so deceitful, it'll get you to do a good work without God. You know what? A missionary shouldn't, if he thinks he's a missionary, he shouldn't go to the mission field just because he's a missionary without seeking God's guidance. What if he goes to the wrong place? See, it's good. See, that devil, oh, now you know that you're supposed to go there now because you're a missionary. That'd be a great thing to do. Go out there and get the gospel out. Okay, well, you go to the wrong place and then God's blessing is not on it. Then you're in a bad place. Mm-hmm. You're doing something good in the wrong way. The flesh, it will do well. Why? The plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, y'all look now. Is there anything wrong with plowing? There's nothing wrong with getting out here and getting your place. But guess what? If you don't do it in the Lord Jesus Christ, even your little simple things are wrong. Even just something just as innocent as plowing. And see, the Lord saying, look, you need my prayer first. Now, look here. Notice the people of prayer. And in the text here, it says, be made for all men. Man, that's tough. That's a tough verse. Why? Well, Paul wrote this thing, Nero, was the leader there. You know what he'd do? He'd dip them in wax and burn them. Pray for Nero. What are you talking about? That old devil, he can't change. Well, hold on just a minute now. Paul said he was the chief of sinners and he was out here to kill Christians and he was going and wanting to drag them out. I guarantee you people would say, there's no way Paul will change. There's no. I don't need to pray for him. I don't need to pray for her. That lady is crazy. I ain't praying for that lady. Well, you know what? You'll find out there, if nothing else. Let's say they don't change. But guess what? At least it's off your conscience there. Yeah. At least you prayed for them. Why? At least you don't get a root of bitterness sown in your heart. You know what happens? There's one text over there. He said, I think it's in Samuel. He said, I'll cease not to sin and ceasing to pray from you. Pray for you. Y'all remember reading that text in there? I think it's in 1 Samuel 15 if I had to guess. But he said he's not going to sin. Why? Because he didn't pray for somebody. Well, you know what? A lot of times, the Lord knows who's going to do and who's not going to do right. But you know what? It's our business to pray for them. Why? Because the text says all men. You know what? I just wonder how many things could have been different there if men had prayed. Why? The Lord's able to do anything exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. The Lord says with me nothing is impossible. You know, the impossibility lies with us. But you know what we do? We don't try to get the hand of God. No, the Bible talks about no man seeketh after God. You know what we don't have? A lot of people, the ability is there to seek. Why? He says, seek me, seek me, seek me. You know what people aren't doing? Well, that's going to be kind of tough if I done that. Well, y'all, that's the attitude. People have this. If anything is tough to do, I just ain't going to do it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been doing it. I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm learning? Prayer's tough. It is tough. But the things that are worth doing oftentimes are the hardest things. It's just why? Because Paul said this, I press toward the mark. You know what? Now look, if you're going to press, it's not easy to do. He's pressed. Why? He's letting you know it's tough. It's tough. You know why a lot of people are saved and they're happy and content just being saved? The reason why is because fellowship takes work. If you're going to have a happy fellowship with anybody, that's anybody, you know, a good friendship, it takes work in that thing. Well, you know what? We actually have to get in there. We actually have to make ourselves do what it takes to keep the thing going. Well, because nobody's going to force you to do it. You know, this world don't want you to have a good prayer life. The Lord does, but the world don't. So you know what you'll find out? Your old flesh ain't going to want you to get down there and do it. But you know what happens? Once you drop down there and you actually start praying the Spirit to get in that thing, and you and the Lord have that sweet fellowship there, and then you'll say, "My, what have I been missing? I've been missing out on this thing." And you know what? I tell you this right here too. It's something about. Now I've been on the side there where I didn't want to. Oh Lord, I don't want to pray for them. And it's like that thing drags out. And man, I'm just going to be honest with you. It seems like it takes a long time. And another thing too. This is the ones that drag out. Lord, I know I've been doing this. I don't want to really pray about that. And man, that'll drag out. But man, once you get in there and you get past all that stuff and you just get to fellowshipping with the Lord and bragging on the Lord, it's just like 20 minutes to just go right by. It's just, why? Your fellowship, why? He's in eternity, man. Time ceases. Job, I believe it's chapter 20, verse 10 over there, where it's time no more. You get to a place, there's a place out there once you get up, it's time no more. Time's not reckoned. You know what happens? You get up there in the throne room, buddy, and time's not reckoned, and just it's going by. That's how sometimes you can get in that prayer. You've been a real good service before. Or sometimes we're getting really learning something about the Bible. You get tapped in and an hour and there's no way that an hour just went by. What happened there? You've tapped into that thing. Why? Time's just gone. Time flies. Yeah, it's flying all right. I'll fly away, oh glory. Why? You're in that place. And he says, pray for all people. You know what? It will do us good to pray for people. Even people we don't want to pray for. And that thing helps you. Prayers first. Now I want to go over some kinds of prayer. Notice there, he gives you four different kinds of prayer. He says supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. Those are kinds of prayer. Now number one, that's supplications. You know what that is? That's focused on special needs. Special needs. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, I believe it is, he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Well, you know how you know that? The Bible says Jesus wept. Well, he had to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Otherwise, what in the world is God doing crying? Just says, Jesus wept. Man, that's a touching verse. Do you imagine God right there seeing them crying over here and Jesus wept? That's something that he actually, when we're sad, he actually knows how it feels. And I think about this verse, if you want to jot it down, Exodus 3:7 says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers. It says, for I know their sorrows." Now, man, that's before Calvary there. And you'll see that thing. He said, I know they're going through things. You know, you think about the times we focus on special needed things. Don't you know God answers those things? Here's Amram and Jochebed. They lay Moses down, gators and everything else in the water, and they lay him down in that little ark there. Lord, please just protect him. Lord, I need you to protect my son. I need you to protect. You know, see, it's a special need. We all have special needs. All right, he goes down through there and all of a sudden, you fast forward a little bit, they're getting paid to raise their own child. Don't you know the Lord? Wow, that's a blessing, man. The Lord, a lot of times the Lord's able to work something out. We think, man, that's terrible. That thing is terrible. And the Lord, one of these days, we get on the other side of the Lord and said, yeah, you didn't know I was working this thing out. Look at that. And the Lord, why? Because it brings glory to Him. Now you thought I wasn't able to work it out. I did work it out. Now check that thing out right there. That's just a blessing. Why? That's the Lord is able to do. And you got these things now. Talking about these special needs and the Lord understanding. you've got something there that lost people can't tap into that thing. They just cannot tap into the fact that we're able to, when we're in trouble, we're able to go and say, Lord, I need help. And if it was something bad, Lord, maybe you're not going to get me as far as take this thing from me, but Lord, you're going to get me through it, Lord, because I know that you're able to get me through the fire. And we know he's able to do those things. Now, look at this other thing, prayers. All right, so you got supplication, prayers. That's just spending time at his feet in worship. You know, sometimes just spend time in prayer, just actually getting at the feet of the Lord and spending a little time with him and just saying, Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are. And Lord, what you do and what you mean to me and just take a little while and brag on the Lord. I had a verse I was wanting to show you that just came to my mind, just talking about who the Lord is and tell him, Lord, thank you for the sunshine, the sunlight, and the eyes to be able to see these things. Let me show you something kind of neat I just thought about. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Thank God for who he is. In prayer, you can come to God in prayer, and because he's eternal, he's infinite, he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and loving, and just anything that you can think of that's good, he is. Why? He is good. Mm-hmm. All right, so you can thank him for who he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3. This is who God is right here. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. Blessed be God. He's blessed God. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, look at this. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Man, that's God, man. That verse right there tells you who God is, why he's the Father of mercies, the Father of Jesus Christ, and he's the God of all comfort. That is a... You can tell God, thank you, God, that I can come to you and get comfort. Why? When I can't get it anywhere else, I can tell you something. This world is not going to offer you comfort like God can. Why? It'll offer you comfort enough. You lay your head down on the pillow and you didn't know it, but spikes are under the thing. And why? The world will give you a false, temporary sense of comfort. Why? You talk to a lot of these people. Well, you know, you need to get saved. Well, right now everything's going good. My bills are paid. I got a job. I'm healthy and everything. Okay, well, guess what happened? The next week, boom. They're all of a sudden they're on their deathbed. Well, man. Well, yeah, you want God now, don't you? See, the thing is, the devil, he don't show you tomorrow. That's why it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You can have it great today and terrible tomorrow. But if you've got God, God can, if nothing else, give you comfort to get through the thing. But now with a lost person, the lost person don't have that. And man, thank him for who he is. Prayers. Now look at this. Intercessions. That's praying on behalf of others. You know what he does for us, y'all? He stands in the gap, man. You know something that the Roman Catholic don't have? They don't have this. They don't have the right mediator. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator. You know what that does? That verse right there is the anti-Catholic verse. Mm-hmm. It's against Mary. Mary's not going to do it. You know what else? It's against Buddha. It's against Muhammad. It's against all your religious, all the Bhagavad Gita's and the Tripitaka and the Triple Basket and all those Asuras and all those other things that they have. The Quran's not going to do it. Why? It's one mediator. It's only one. And you know what he does? He mediates for us. And you know what we're to do? Intercession is, you know what we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to intercede for others. Why? We can boldly come to the throne of grace, the Bible says. We've got a high priest for us, Hebrews 7:25, that offers up those things for us. Why? We come to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. That's amazing how that thing works right there. Oh, you got the Godhead right there. We're able to tap into that thing. Now you imagine it. The Old Testament, they had to have that high priest enter in there for them. If you would have told somebody back then, guess what? I can go straight to the throne of God. You're crazy. You'll die in there, man. Well, you know what? Because we're in Christ Jesus, you know what I can do? I can come straight in there. Not boldly, like I'm telling God what to do. Boldly in that you know you're not going to get killed when you come in there.
Yeah.
Boldly come in there. Lord, I need you. Lord Jesus, I don't even know how to pray, Lord. I don't even know what to say. Lord, I just know I need you. And Lord, I need your will to be done in this situation. We need your help, God. And you know what he'll do? Not because of you, but because of my son. I'll come in there and help you. And man, man, that brings me joy, man. Now think about this with us. And if you will, turn to Exodus 32, and I'm going to read a verse to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." We're an ambassador. All right? "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God." That is a verse, man. Praying in Christ's stead. Why? We're standing in there. Why? Because I can go straight to Him. So here, look, you can't get Christ right here. But you know what I can do? I'm an ambassador for Christ. See, like an ambassador goes to another nation, a foreign country. Guess what? Here we are in this foreign country here. This world's not my home. I'm just a stranger passing through. And I come through. Now look, Christ is up in heaven right now. But you know what? He's also in me. Now what I can do is I can tell you how to get to heaven and not go to hell. That's awesome to me. I hope I never get past the fact that we're entrusted with the gospel so powerful that we can tell somebody how to not to go to hell. And how that they can trust Jesus Christ. That's power, man. Why? Because you think about this. It calls it the power of the gospel. And we can tell somebody how not to go to hell. And point them to Christ. That's a job. I do that. That's higher than any presidency I've ever heard of. Why? Would you think the president's job is more powerful than all? I don't think so. Why? Because we can actually point people to the Savior. I actually know the Lord personally. I heard a story about some kids. They were in school, and this kid said, "Yeah, my daddy knows the senator." And the other kid said, "Well, I got you beat. My daddy knows the president." And the other kid said, "I got all y'all beat. My daddy knows God." And man, that's what it is. He knows God. Now, that's what we do. Now, let me show you something about interceding for others. Now, this is something here that's amazing to me in Exodus 32 that happens, talking about interceding for others and actually having a care for it. I'm not to this point, but I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be to the point where we care to try to help others. Exodus 32, verse 31. "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." Man, that's bad. "Yet now, if thou wert forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Look at that. Man, you talking about interceding. Moses went to the point where he said, "Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book." He, you know what he's saying? I go to hell for him. That's at the point of, now look, y'all, I hadn't arrived. Right. Some people talk about, yeah, they're great Christians, you know, and this Christian, oh, I know how they are over there, and I know they're not nowhere near right with God. Are you so right with God you'd ask God to blot you out of His book to pray for them? Well, the Bible says be intercessions for others. Man, that's tough. All right, now, Paul. Now, who's our example? Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You know what Paul said? He said over in Romans 9, he wanted his kinsmen to be saved so bad that he wished he was he would just soon be cursed from Christ as if his kinsmen be saved. That's the same thing Moses said. Basically, a curse from Christ. I said he just assumed if he could die and go to hell, he'd do that if they'd get saved. Now, y'all, that's saying something, man. You talking about interceding. And, man, I tell you what, that humbles me. Why? I'm nowhere near what I need to be in my prayer life. Man, when you got somebody, the Bible says intercession, we're supposed to want to see other people get saved. Now, you talking about an intercession in the church, you say, "Will it work?" Oh, it'll work. It helped. Prayer helps. Let me show you something in Acts chapter number 12. Look at Acts 12. You know what's wrong with things today? It's not the prayers. It's not the Savior. It's the servants. You know one of the biggest sins being committed today? Lack of prayer.
Yeah.
Just people just literally not praying. You know what? It's good to pray with each other. Man, it's good. It's good. I love praying with a kid. I love to hear them pray. Well, you'll notice kids' prayers are direct believing, and simple. I think a lot of times, you know, you read a lot of these books these guys have got out, they make things too complicated. Just get in there and come to him like a child and just tell him, just talk to him. Him, Lord, I know so-and-so needs help. And Lord, I know they need it. Lord, we need you. Just literally cast your needs on him and say, Lord, I can't do nothing. You hear some of these people pray, it's almost like they feel like they've actually got some power. We don't have any power. Everything's on Christ. He's got all the power. Now look at Acts 12, verse number 5. Peter's there in prison, you know, and look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made, look at there, without ceasing. You know what they're doing? They're obeying Pauline doctrine. It says pray without ceasing over there in 1 Thessalonians 5. And pray without, it said without ceasing, man. It says without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Intercessions. Here they are interceding. And you know what there? Peter gets out of prison and they gets to the point, he comes to the door and they say, well, that's the Spirit. you know what happens a lot of times? We're praying and God, I answer the prayer. We don't even have enough belief. A lot of people say, if you don't have enough faith here, a lot of times, y'all, we just need to pray. Sometimes we don't have, it's like our faith. Faith can always be built up. But as long as we cast our little bit of faith on Christ's faith, why? I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. My faith is so limited, man. But you know, Lord, I know I don't have enough faith in it. I'm casting it all on you. Why? You know they're praying here, but they still didn't. A lot of them must not believe that their prayer was going to get answered. Why? Well, Peter comes up there. You know, if they had been, you know, if you don't believe enough, well, you got to read the Bible. Why had they come there? They didn't even believe it was Peter. Mm-hmm. I pray for some things. Lord, we need you. I'm casting. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I wonder if I prayed hard enough. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I had quite enough faith. Your faith taps into his faith. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're living by the faith of the Son of God, and you tap into his. Why? He's got all the faith. Mm-hmm. Man, why? Because if you ever avail yourself to the fact that Christ has it all, why? All things are in him. Mm-hmm. What we do is we take and we say, Lord, I want to tap into you. I want to tap into your great faith. I want to tap into your power. I don't have any power, Lord, but if I can tap into your power, Lord, if I can tap into your greatness, then you can actually get something. Now, I've heard this illustration, and I can't emphasize enough how much it is. I cannot play basketball. I do good to hit a granny shot. But now, you know, it's fun if our goal was fixed, you know. But anyway, but you think about it. What if the power of like Larry Bird were able to get inside of me and he were to be able to play his game out inside of me? Well, then I could play some ball. Well, see, we don't have any power to live. You can't live the Christian life. I just can't live it. You sure can't. But if you will let Christ live out through you, why? He, the thing which worketh in you. He works out, Philippians chapter 2. If you'll let him work out the thing that's in you, then you can do it. Why? I can't love. You're talking about loving some of these people. I can't love my enemies, y'all. I cannot do that. But you know what? The fruit of the Spirit, love, can produce love in me that I don't have. See, that power can come out. All right? Joy. Now, how am I going to have joy in certain situations? Well, you may lose your job this week. Oh, how am I going to have joy in that? I can't do that. But guess what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Tap into Christ. And Christ is able to produce that in you. Why? Because I don't have it. Peace. How am I going to have peace in these bad? I can't have peace in a certain situation. When I know the all these things going on in the world, and sometimes you'll cast your eyes out on all this stuff, guess what happens there? I tap into Christ and say, I can't have peace in this situation. Give me peace. Mm-hmm. See, we tap into the thing with Christ. Why? Because Christ is on the inside of us. We can't do it without him. I tell you when you'll get frustrated. You'll get frustrated when you're trying to do things in your own power. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to hold it up, and you say, man, this is, I'm just not doing it. Right. I'm telling you, I've done it. Carlin, tell you, sometimes, you know what I find out? I'm getting frustrated. What's happening here? And you get to examine it. I'm trying to do it in my own power.
Right.
You know what I need to do? I need to let Christ take over and let him do it through me. And then it'll get done. Otherwise, it's not going to get done. And see, you have to tap into that. That's like those prayers. You take your prayer like they did and say, Lord, I'm coming to you best I know how. And Lord, I need you. I'm coming to you like this. And Lord, I need you to take over. And he'll do it. And that's how we come in there. We've got a mediator. Now, another thing we need to remember that a lot of times we think, well, this person can't change, that person can't change. Remember, God was able to get inside Paul and make him a new person. We've got to remember that Christ is in the creating business and he can make new creatures. He can literally change people. If he gets on the inside, he's able to come in there, clean them up, and make them somebody new. Make them somebody who loves the things of God. A lot of times I think, why don't they love God? What? We're telling you about God. Well, they're not going to love God without God being on the inside of them. Mm-hmm. We need to get them saved. And the Lord, if the Lord saves them, guess what happens? When the Lord saves them, then they'll have a different view on things. But until then, you just got to get them the gospel. Get them to God. All right, so another thing too, being able to pray. You know, we talked about all men and these intercessions. I thought about this. A lot of people talk about they're godly this, godly that, and this other thing. All right. Well, loving your enemies is part of being godly. Why? Because I can't do it on my own. Christ loved his enemies. Well, you know, one thing that people don't tell you is a characteristic of actually getting closer to God is being able to pray for your enemies. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because our Ephesians 4:32, why? We're supposed to pray for them for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. Why? Because here's Christ on the cross, man. They're actually killing him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Mm-hmm. That is, why? You know what a lot of people don't realize? A lot of people are being rough on you and being hard on you, and they do not realize they're persecuting Christ by persecuting you. Well, that's exactly what Christ told Paul. He said, you're persecuting me. Well, you know what's happening? You're the body of Christ. And a lot of people, they know not what they do. And why, with my little fleshly mind, strike them, Lord. I can't tell you how many times I thought that in my mind. And then whenever I thought those feelings, I go right back to that verse over there, and the Lord said, yeah, and you don't know what spirit you're of. There you go. There you go, humans, going by your human spirit. Why? Because we want everybody just be knocked back. But you know, we want mercy when we mess up. Lord, strike them. But Lord, when I mess up now, just take it easy. Now take it easy, Lord. And see, you got to be careful about that thing. Now, let me give you another one here. So you got supplications, prayers, intercessions, and then you got thanks. Now, that verse I gave you in Romans 1:8, he said, first of all, I thank God. Now, one thing in Romans you'll read over there, you know what the characteristic of all those people who fell off and went all in that sodomy and done all that changing they did in Romans chapter 1. The Bible says, neither were they thankful. The first step in you or me or anybody else getting into severe disobedience to God is being unthankful. Mm-hmm. That's step one. When we get to where we don't thank God for the opportunities we have, we don't thank God for the clothes we've got and things like all those things that we're unthankful, that thing will start to escalate. Why? It's sin. It's just sin is what it is, plain sin not to be thankful. Why? We've got entirely too much to be thankful for not to be thankful. When you think about the fact, number one, that you are saved, and if nothing else good happens to you, your home's heaven. That's enough right there just to be the Lord. I don't have to burn in hell. But another thing, that the fact that he gives us the time to be able to come and gather together, read his word, eyes that can see his word, hands that can handle his word, ears that can hear his word, feet that can walk in the paths of light, man, exceedingly above all that we deserve. We've got things to be thankful for. But see, that thing is thankfulness does something. Why is he telling you to be thankful? Watch what it does. Look at Luke chapter 17. Thankfulness is something that I think needs to be cultivated in the Christian life, because whenever you're thankful, it's a reminder. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the other thing. I think it's something to be constantly be thankful for things. It reminds you something could happen. I may not have this thing.
That's right.
Something can happen. I may not have our church family. I may not be able to have the opportunity to do this and that. Why? Y'all, one thing could happen and completely change our life. Mm-hmm. We could get sick today. I could be great today. We could get sick tomorrow and your life completely changed tomorrow. You know what? We'd be thankful for all these little things we have right now. A lot of times, a lot of people think, man, I don't have all this other stuff. And I don't have. Yeah, but you could be way worse. Man, you talk to some of these people, and man, they unthankfulness. I ain't got all the scripture put together on it, but unthankfulness, I believe it causes bitterness. I know some people. I know a lady at the post office right now. I see her, and sometimes I go in there just to aggravate, I guess, because it'll be a beautiful day, like it is, sunshine and everything else. You come out there, hey, it's a beautiful day, Dad. Yeah, but tomorrow it's going to rain. Who cares, man? Today, we got sunshine today. Enjoy one day at a time. When, you know what happened? She's so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, she can't enjoy the time today. Why? Because if you don't give glory to God, you're not staying in that worship, that frame of worship. And guess what happens? It creates bitterness. Now, watch this. In Luke chapter 17, you know what happens? 10 men... get cleansed. 10 lepers get cleansed. You know what you'll find at verse 15? And one of them returned. All right, to give thanks to God. But you know what? But watch what it says here in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now you see that glorifying God right there? Now watch this. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, you know what you're going to find out? Giving thanks is glorifying God. Why? And he was a Samaritan, and Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? You know what happened? Out of 10, 1/10 came back. There's God getting his 10th there. There's that Old Testament. That's neat. All right, and it says this. Verse 18, there are not found that return. Guess what he did? He gave thanks. Jesus said this, though, to give glory to God, save this stranger. That is amazing right there. That is amazing. Why? Because that shows you, he said he gave thanks and Jesus said it glorified God. Being thankful glorifies God. That's the Jesus gave you the definition of it. So you know what you're doing a lot of times? You don't even realize it. You're going out there, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you're actually worshiping God. And you know what happened? You ever wonder? Now try this today. Going home or something, just in your mind, start thanking God for things. You know what happened? For some reason, man, you'll get an attitude of gratitude on that. Only that particular activity can explain. But it's glorifying God. You're actually sitting there worshiping God. You know what happened? It'll give you joy. It'll give you joy, man. Why? Here, this guy here, he's gone off, and guess what happens there? He says, verse 19, and he said unto him, he tells this guy 10 things, this Gentile, 10 things. Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Maybe it wasn't a Gentile, but I think it's neat that he says 10 words to him there, and it says we're not 10 clean, 1/10 came back, and he said 10 words to him. But I like numbers. But y'all, that thing is so neat that he's able to walk off rejoicing. Why? He got the cleansing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what happens with us a lot of times? We don't get the cleansing. Why? Because we're so bitter about all the things we don't have. We're not being thankful for what we do have. And you know what happens? Leprosy is a picture of sin. A lot of people just keep on walking in their sin and they're not cleansed from things. Why? Because they won't even come back. I'm going to tell you something. That makes me mad. Why? I'm just an old sinner myself. Here these guys, they walk off, and as they're walking, as they're going, see, as you're walking, you're supposed to walk in the commands of the Lord. The Lord gave them a word. They're walking in the word of the God, and they're getting cleansed as they go. All right? But then as they're getting cleansed, things are cleaning up. The Lord's cleaning up their life. The Lord's cleaning up your life and getting you away from things that used to drag you down and everything. And you don't lean back and say, thank you, Lord. Don't come back and say, one of them had appreciation. Now, you know what you'll find out right here? You'll find out in this text right here. He gives this story. And you know what's so amazing about this story right here? Drop down to verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so then all of a sudden he starts talking about the last days. You know what? In the last days, of the church age says they'll be unthankful, unholy, blasphemous. You know what? Unthankful is one of the things. He gave this story about somebody being thankful, and then he drops down there and starts talking about the days of Noah. Why? He's telling you that before those things, one thing that's going to manifest even before those days, what's going to happen? How did it escalate to the days of Noah? Unthankfulness. Hey, that matches Romans chapter number 1. What happened there? Unthankful. I'm telling y'all, if you'll be thankful, it will help your relationship with the Lord. Now, consequences of not praying. Let me show you something. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. There's something more to praying. You're actually tapping into something there that the unseen eye can't understand. Why? Because you're having to get in the spiritual realm. Why? You're not doing anything other than just being in your physical body. You got your eyes closed when you're praying. That's tapping. That's taking your sight away. Why? We walk by faith and not by sight. You're clasping up. You're clamming up. Why? I can't do anything here. You're actually tapping into a spiritual realm there. And there's consequences to not getting. Why? We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And you need to actually. You know, this is something about us. We will make sure our physical body is washed. We'll make sure it's fed. We'll make sure it's pampered. And you know what happens? We put the spiritual things last, and we wonder why we're spiritually confused oftentimes. Why? Because spiritual things aren't as important. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, well, you know, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Well, you're going to suffer for it.
That's right.
Why? Because it will literally start manifesting itself. Now look, I can go a day without, I'm just, sounds gross probably, but I can go a day without taking a bath and nobody's probably not recognized much. Now you get out there and work outside and you go 4 or 5 days without taking a bath and it's going to manifest. Now look, 1 or 2 days of not reading your Bible may not show up a whole lot, but you give it 4 or 5 days. You give it a month. You take some of these people who got saved, they ain't read their Bible in months, and you look, it's manifesting. Mm-hmm. They think, well, I can't. Yeah, you can. Others can tell it. Why? You look, some people can't even smell their own self, and they start stinking real bad. But guess what? Other people around, whoa. And you know what? Why? That's a picture of spirituality. You know, there's nothing that stinks worse to me than bad body odor. Somebody who hadn't taken a bath in 4 or 5 days. Why? Sometimes I know I'm around truck drivers. I know. All right. Now, let me tell you this. Somebody who's not fellowshipping with God, it's a hard thing. It's hard on other Christians to see somebody who says, well, I'm a Christian, and they're out here using language they ought not use, and they're out here. Why? It's hard on us. Why? Well, hold on a minute now. What are you talking about? That stinks. It stinks. And you know what happened? It stinks to the Lord, too. The Lord says, Lot, you're in a mess. Abraham prayed for you. There's the prayer. There's the intercession. If it hadn't been for Abraham, buddy, praying, I believe Lot would have been in a bad mess. Why? Because, man, he stunk. He stunk so bad he went down to his relatives and they couldn't even listen to him. And see, that thing, it's bad, see? All right, now look at this thing here in Hebrews 12 with the consequences. Look at verse 12. It says, wherefore lift up the hands which hangs down and the feeble knees. Now, you know what the Bible tells you over there in 1 Timothy? Lifting up holy hands. Why? It's a picture of prayer. All right, now watch what the consequences are. It says in verse 12 here, all right, and make straight the paths of your feet, lame be turned away. Let's see here. I lost my place. All right, the context, here it is. Yeah, I remember. All right, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And it talks about all this chastising. And see, verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastising, exercising. But the context here, you'll see, wherefore? What's the wherefore there for? Go back up there. He's talking about chastising and being chastised and stuff. Why? Lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make these things pay. Why? You know what's happening? If we don't pray and we don't fellowship with God, you know what God has to do? The Bible says that God has to get us to a place where we'll be in a prayerful mindset. Romans 8, 26, you know what it says? The Holy Spirit will make intercession for us. Now think about this. What if the Lord knows we need to be praying? And the Lord knows, all right, here we are, we're stepping out of bounds there. And the Lord's saying, okay, now, if she's stepping out, he's stepping out of bounds here, and I won't be in fellowship with him. And you know what happens there? Chastising comes in. Why? Exercise. They need some strength. They've done got feeble. Their hands done got feeble. Why? They're not holding them up. Remember Exodus, this picture of Moses and Aaron and hers. He's not holding them up anymore. Their prayer hands have gone down. You know what I got to do? I got to exercise them. Going for an exercise. See verse 11 there? It says, they exercise thereby. Why? Afterward. It's grievous. Never afterward. After what? After all that chastising. Verse, you know, you get that afterward, it's going to yield the fruit. Well, you know what happens? A lot of times we get those old hands down and we stop asking, Lord, I need your help. Well, if we're ever to the point we think we don't need God's help, guess what? We're being strong in our own mind. And the Lord's saying, yeah, when you're strong, you're weak. But whenever you're weak, you're strong. Mm-hmm. So I need to get you in there and exercise you so you realize you need my help. You know, a lot of times, some of the worst things that's ever happened to us end up being a time where we actually built up strength with the Lord and we actually got to God in prayer. And you, if it hadn't been for that, you may not be where you're at in the Lord today as far as your relationship. I know with me, there's been things happen even within the past year. I think, what in the world is going on? And I just get down on my knees to God and say, God, what is going on here? And just really get in with him in prayer. And you know what happens? That thing, a lot of it happened. Why? To get me to where I knew I can, if he got me through that, this next thing it come up, look, he's already got me through that. I've already been through worse than this thing right here. And a lot of times, why? Because somebody needs to see you going through that. Why? Because you may be the one who helps hold them up. You may be, you know what? Some people today don't want to be an Aaron or a Hur. They want to be the Moses. Well, sometimes you need to be just somebody who's there to hold somebody's hand up. And you know, and that's the thing. What if Aaron and Hur had said, look, that's too small a job for me now. I need to be down there doing the battle. I need to be down. Well, you know what happened? The whole thing wouldn't have turned out like it did. We've got to realize sometimes in our eyes, it may be just a little bitty old small job. And God's saying, look, I need that job done. You're the one for that job. No job that God has you do is too small. All of it's important. And so everybody today, you take most of these people, especially this younger generation, everybody wants to be the greatest thing. They want to jump right out of college and have everything right then and have the greatest, finest, all these things. And God said, hey, no, I need you to go right down here and do that little small thing right now. I need you just to roll that stone away. Oh, now? Well, Lazarus can't come out until you roll the stone away. Now, just roll the stone away. Fill the water pots. Oh, I don't want to fill no water pots. Who? Lord, get me to do something neat now. Well, the Lord said, I'm about to do something really neat if you just put some water in the water pot. I'm about to turn it to wine. See, if we ever get to where we think it's just a little bitty old nothing job, we'll be in a mess. We really will. Why? We miss out on some of God's greatest things. Why? Prayer may seem small to you, but it's a great thing. It's a great thing. I don't know how we're doing on time. I still got a little ground to cover. Whew. All right, let's go a little bit longer here. That's point number one, prayers. Point number two, how to be peaceable. How to be peaceable. Look in your Bible there, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll show you something, how to be peaceable. A lot of people, we miss some of the things. We want peace in our life, and we miss the things that call for peace. It tells you there for kings to pray. All right, but what to pray for? Pray for kings and for all that are in authority. All right, well, you know what? The Bible says pray for kings. Now, you know what? How to be peaceable is there, but God has a ministry. I want to talk to you just a minute about God's ministry. Look at Romans 13. I like how God uses things a lot of times that a lot of times we will think, oh, surely not. You know what kings and things like that are in God's word? They're ministers. They minister things. Well, they got a ministry of their own. God's got them in. Romans chapter number 13. We're supposed to not resist the higher powers as long as it don't contradict God's word. Look at verse 4. Why? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. He's God's minister. Now, I realize there's a lot of bad ministers out there. You got bad ministers on both sides. But you know what? He is the minister of God. Why? Look here at what the verse says. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he heareth, beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God 2 times, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, you know what he's supposed to do? That minister is there to take wrath on those that are doing evil. Why? Get those terrorists out of here. Get them out of our country while they don't belong here. You know what? It's supposed to be, you know what's supposed to be done by those men? Execute the capital punishment. You know whenever crime was at its lowest, when capital punishment was still practiced, before the law, during the law, and after the law, capital punishment is in the Bible. And you know what I think would be better, and so many people are going to listen to this and say, that dude's lost his mind. Bring back hanging. When somebody kills somebody, you know what they'll do? And they're sentenced, have the thing out there and have them hanged. And you know what happened? You'll find out why. Because sentence is not executed speedily. The heart of men is fully set to do evil. Why? Because they got plenty of time. Why? A lot of people, they do something, they go to jail and they get fed and everything, and your tax dollars are paying these people to eat all these meals, and these people are guilty, man. Why? I'm telling you. Execute that he's there to execute judgment. You say, is that in the Bible? Of course it is. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 28. 1 Samuel 28. And it's here, man. I'm going to tell you something. There's enough in there. There's a whole atomic bomb right there in your hand, right there, as far as truth wise, to get us to where we can live a life close to the Lord. And, Look at 1 Samuel 28, verse 18. When you don't obey the Lord, you got that. There's a mark right there of the devil not obeying the Lord. But watch this. Verse 18. This is speaking to the leader here. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. See there? Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. You know what he's supposed to do? He was supposed to execute the wrath upon those wicked people. He was supposed to be, according to Romans 13:4, the sword. Now, you know what? A good leader is supposed to be a weapon against those things that are bad. Now, you won't see that in the Bible there. Look in your Bible over at Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. A good leader will be against the evil. But you know what as well? For the ones who aren't doing right, you know what happened? A bad leader will come in and he'll get the folks who's supposed to be doing right. You know what's coming because folks have rejected the word of the Lord? You know what's coming? And they've rejected the Lord? Saul is coming. You know what's coming? The Antichrist is coming. You know why? The Lord is going to take and he's going to use him as a battle axe. Why? To knock off. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take the Antichrist and knock all the other folks down, all the other bad nations down with the Antichrist, and then he's going to come in and knock the Antichrist out for doing it. Why? Because, man, that the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord is all powerful. That Antichrist, he's going to be a bad dude. Let me tell you something, though. He couldn't hold a candle to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, if he wanted to, could snap his fingers and that man would be as though he'd never been. It just, the Lord is powerful, man. Jeremiah 51, look at verse 20. Speaking of this one is to come. Look at this. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. That's something there. Why? He's a minister of God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come in there and he's going to minister judgment. You know what Israel's going to do? Israel's going to go in a time of Jacob's trouble and he's going to use a battle axe. And man, he's going to come in there and chop this thing. And guess what? It's going to come upon the whole world too. All these world leaders, you know, it's amazing to me. They'll reject Jesus Christ. Get his commandments out here. We don't want his commandments and all that stuff. And they'll have one seat up there at the UN that's empty, 666, which it's got somebody sitting there. They just can't see him yet. And you know what happens? That man's going to come and he's going to come and he's just going to knock them all down. He's going to lead them straight to hell. Why? I'm telling you reject the word of the Lord and you reject wisdom, you reject truth when you do that. And guess what happens? They say, we'll have no man, but we'll just have Caesar. They say, Caesar's okay. Okay, well, you want Caesar, you'll get him then. And guess what? Once they got what they thought they wanted, they didn't want what they got. And that's what's come. Why is the battle at? Look at verse 24. You know it's him. And I will render unto Babylon. Look at verse 25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain. He's a destroying mountain. He's going to come in there, and man, he is going to be the minister of God. And why? Because the folks who didn't do right, he's going to come in there and he's going to take and be a battle axe. You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? You take Nebuchadnezzar coming in there, and man, he's a type of the Antichrist. He comes down there and sits down for seven years, and sits down there, and he's like an ox, you know. And you've got that thing there, right there in your text. So you got God's ministry, and also you got a continued how to have a continued ministry. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells you there. In that verse, it says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know what that thing says? If you're going to have a continued ministry, we need to pray for our leadership. Why? Because y'all, we're seeing a time now to where you think about some of the leadership that could have been in there. Man, it's a mess. Why? We need to pray. I'm telling y'all, this thing, we need to continue to pray for our leadership that we may be able to be peaceful. Hey, I want to continue to be able to meet together. I want to continue to be able to preach. All right, and then there's how to be peaceable. Let's go over step number three here, or point number three, the limitless offer of pardon. I'll go over this quickly. Verse number six says that who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. You ever seen them things where they say, well, I need some ransom money. The Lord gave himself a ransom. That's a lot, man. That's our Lord. That is a blessing to me. So you got the limitless offer of pardon. He's the ransom. Now let me show you something quickly about that ransom there. It says, gave himself a ransom for all. That's all. That's everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white. It's not, you know, you got these people. Well, he only died for the elect. All right. Well, look, Christ is the elect. I get in him. Guess what? I'm elect. If you want to get elect, you get in Christ. It's that he's all men. Now look at this thing in Matthew chapter number 20 with me quickly. This is one that I've had used on me, and maybe it'll be some ammunition for you. But some people believe that God didn't die for all men. He died for all. Otherwise, whenever they get to the great white throne judgment, you imagine somebody getting up there and they say, Lord, what are you sending me to hell for? You didn't die for me anyway. You told me to believe on me, but you didn't die for me. Now, why was I given a command to do something I couldn't do? And so you got that thing. All right, Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 28. Let's see here. It says this. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He's a ransom. Now, you know what I had? Somebody said, see, it's only many. It wasn't everybody, it was only many. Well, it is many people is going to be saved, but let's look at this thing for just a minute. Look over here at Matthew chapter number 20. Should be Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 26. All right, ransom for many. All right, Matthew chapter number 26. That's why I love the King James. I love the cross-referencing, man. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. All right, now watch this. For the remission of sin. Now, who did he die for? The whole world, right? But that verse says many. So is there a verse anywhere that we could look and see with the Bible a definition of many where it would mean everybody? Of course. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 12. All right, it says, verse number 12, I'll wait till I'm still here flipping there. All right. For as many have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. How many people have sinned? All have sinned. Many is all. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. How many have sinned? All. Sometimes the Lord can say, it's His word, He's saying things. Many can mean all. When He died for a ransom for many, He died for all. And it's many people. All right, and so we've got things. A lot of times we'll say one thing that has strange meaning. That's like, for instance, I've always thought this. People say, "Well, that's cool, man. It's cool. Was it cool to the touch?" No, they're saying they like it. Look, we've got things that strange ways we use words sometimes. The Lord can use many to mean all. All right, and so He died for all. So there's the limitless offer of pardon. There's the ransom. It's for all. Now, not only the ransom, but the range. And we'll close with this in 1 Timothy 2. He says all. And in verse 4, it said, who will have all men to be saved. Who's that all? He said, he's not willing that any should perish. Now, this whole time, we've been talking about prayer. Now, you know one of the main prayers that we ought to pray? We ought to pray that the Lord will help people realize the loss, why He's not willing that any should perish. We ought to pray that God will make us the witnesses that we ought to be. Amen. And we ought to pray that God will help us get the gospel out. And God will help us to be a people who are zealous for lost souls. You know it's amazing? In Proverbs 11:31 says, He that winneth souls is wise. Now, you know what Daniel says, talking about those people out in heaven? He said, the wise shall shine as the stars. That's an amazing verse to me. Well, you know what? Over in Corinthians, I'm just shouting out a whole bunch of verses. It talks about how the stars differ in men. We'll get a glorified body, and we're going to be like lights. Why? We're going to shine like the Lord Jesus. All right, well, you know what? It's amazing. What if some of these people who got the gospel out more and things like that, and got, you know, because of their ministry and things and what they did and their prayers, so many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You imagine them out there, and maybe they'll be brighter. That'd be amazing, man. Why? Because you think about this. Some people think that just that one soul, they don't put enough emphasis on that thing. But all right, think about this. One person that comes to Christ, you may say, in my lifetime, I may not have led maybe one or two people. But what if, here are these two people that you led to Christ. All right, and that one right there, though, he led a bunch of them. I mean a bunch of people to Christ. And that one right there led a whole bunch. And that, see, just by that one right there. Why? Because those things right there. That's why we won't get the rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody, it has to wait till the whole thing's out. Why? Because the whole thing hadn't played out yet. And see, the Lord has to wait till that whole. Why? Because the Lord's able to, He's keeping the books, He's keeping the records. He's able to say, now because of this, this happened. And because of that, this other thing happened. The Lord is keeping the record. And the Lord knows what is going to happen because this happened. What was going to happen because this happened. He knows all and He sees all. And He is the one that's able to keep the record. That's what's such a blessing. Why? Pray. Prayer means a whole lot. And so I hope that if nothing else, this thing will get us into what we want to pray more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.